on the measure this week. Two influential House committees pulled all-nighters on Wednesday, ultimately moving the measure closer to a full hearing in the U.S. House of Representatives. But while lawmakers act on the proposals before them, word from the White House is that the bill is still open for negotiation and could just be the first phase of a multi-step process to reframe the nation's healthcare law. Nell Abram with Free Speech Radio News has more.
The U.S. House Ways and Means and Energy and Commerce Committees advanced the GOP repeal of the Affordable Care Act Thursday. The votes came despite widespread opposition from the healthcare industry, senior citizens, reproductive health providers, and advocates for the poor. The bill, officially called the American Healthcare Act and euphemistically called Trump Care by some, moved forward on party line votes in both committees, even though there are still no official concrete estimates of how many millions of people stand to lose their insurance plans or how much the measure will cost. The bill keeps the pre-existing condition provision of the Affordable Care Act and still allows parents to cover their children until they are 26 years old. But it would remove both the requirement that taxpayers buy health insurance and the sliding scale subsidy to help those who do purchase policies afford the premiums. Instead, the GOP-sponsored measure would charge a penalty to anyone who lets coverage lapse and then seeks to buy a new policy and provides discounts based on age rather than financial need. Opponents say the bill will gut access to health care for many Americans and bankrupt many more. In the wee hours of the morning, Massachusetts Congressman Joe Kennedy III took issue with one component of the bill that blocks federal funds not only from Planned Parenthood, but potentially from any hospital facility that provides abortion services. He was most concerned about the impact on roughly 11 million people in low-income families covered under Medicaid or eligible under Medicaid expansion.
A lot of the screenings that are done or would be available to those to that patient population around the country no longer are guaranteed coverage because of what you have written in your bill, because you repealed the essential health benefits for those 11 million people. So if they're not going to get them there anymore, and they're not going to get them through Medicaid, and you can't get them through Planned Parenthood, where are you supposed to get them? How is that supposed to happen?
Congressman Kennedy also railed against the legislative process that brought the measure up for a vote without a hearing on the underlying issues or explanations of policy.
And so here we are at 2:20 in the morning, trying to understand the rationale behind a paragraph in a 60-page piece of legislation that overhauls our healthcare system and how it's going to impact far more people than is initially evident in this bill. Far more people. Because you have to understand how these pieces fit together, and the impact that this could have on that population is devastating. And we can't even get any answers about it.
Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle expressed concern about the future for rural hospitals. Democrats introduced a raft of amendments. All of them failed. But a number of Republican amendments passed. One would let insurance company executives avoid paying taxes on up to $1 million in annual compensation. Another gave more than $400 billion in tax breaks to the insurance companies themselves. GOP lawmakers also amended the bill to lift taxes on prescription medication and health insurance premiums, money which offset expanding Medicare and funded subsidies for lower-income consumers. And they approved making tanning salons tax-free as well. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office has not released numbers on the bill yet, but is expected to do so next week. For its part, the House Ways and Means Committee refused to delay action until after the numbers are out. The bill now goes to the House Budget Committee next week, and Speaker Paul Ryan hopes to send it to the full floor by March 20th. But a number of Republican senators have come out against the measure, making its future in that chamber uncertain. Nell Abram, FSRN.
And now we hear the latest in worker-related news from our friends at laborradio.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a Diversified Media Enterprises production. I'm Doug Cunningham. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka issued a brief statement about meeting with Trump. Trumka said he met with Trump to talk about a working families agenda that helps workers who are facing stagnant and declining wages, jobs going overseas, and a loss of rights on the job. Trumka says among the issues discussed were trade and infrastructure. Trumka also raised issues that allow Wall Street and corporations to take advantage of workers while lowering wages and stripping workers of rights. Trumka remains highly critical of the repeal of Obamacare being advanced by the GOP. A new CNN ORC poll shows strong public support for government investment in infrastructure to create jobs and for cutting taxes on the middle class. 58% said they oppose increasing military spending or spending money to build a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. 54% of Americans in that poll said economic growth should be a higher priority than cutting government spending. National Consumers League Executive Director Sally Greenberg says that her group is part of an ongoing coalition campaign urging people to pull money out of Wells Fargo Bank. Greenberg says her organization pulled its money from Wells Fargo for several reasons.
One is that the bank had been involved in these terrible activities, forcing their workforce to open accounts for customers that customers had not authorized, and those accounts included fees and charges and put customers actually at risk of having their credit rating go down. In the process, we began to understand that Wells Fargo would be protected and shielded from legal liability as a result of these forced arbitration contracts, which exist in almost every commercial bank's fine print when you open an account.
The National Consumers League put its money in the Bank of Labor instead, a union-owned bank which has no forced arbitration clauses when opening accounts.
And thankfully, Bank of Labor has no such mandatory arbitration clause. They've got a very positive record when it comes to the workers. Wells Fargo, of course, fired 5,300 of their staff who they had forced to engage in these opening of these unauthorized accounts. The Bank of Labor clearly has a very pro-labor and pro-union atmosphere. It's a union bank.
WIN is brought to you in part by the Amalgamated Transit Union, the largest labor union representing transit and allied workers in the U.S. and Canada. Online at ATU.org.
Sponsored by Iron Workers Impact, now reserving spots for this year's groundbreaking conference, welcoming contractors to grow their business by networking and attending world-class breakouts. More on this event in San Diego, happening March 19th through the 22nd, is found online at impact-net.org under events.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This week, WikiLeaks released what is called its largest ever publication of confidential CIA documents. Head leaker Julian Assange said he would privately supply technical details of the bugs that the CIA has used on most common smartphone software. Assange denied that Russian intelligence had assisted in the acquisition of the latest documents, which he called, quote, Vault 7. And he made a point of impugning the motivations of news organizations that question him along those lines. The CIA strongly criticized WikiLeaks, saying that, quote, the CIA is legally prohibited from conducting electronic surveillance targeting individuals here at home, including our fellow Americans, and CIA does not do so, end quote. Google said in an emailed statement to The Guardian that it was confident that security updates and protections in both Chrome and Android already shield users from many of these alleged vulnerabilities.
The British research group ChemTrust recently concluded that flame retardants used in plastics, mostly in electronic products, are putting the health of children exposed to them at risk. Flame retarding chemicals have been associated with lower mental, psychomotor, and IQ development, with poorer attention spans and decreases in memory and processing speed. The study noted that persistent organic pollutants, called POPs, travel far from their places of origin by wind and ocean currents. The Arctic, for example, has seen a huge buildup of POPs, even though they're not produced there. Mostly these things reside in living organisms as well as in the surrounding environment. An earlier study in 2015 found significant traces of two potentially hormone-altering flame retardants in at least 43% of 21 different children's toys that were surveyed. This includes toy robots, hockey sticks, and skateboards. These substances come from recycled plastics that were first used in electronic products.
In India, more than 200 women a year suffer disfiguring acid attacks. Acid is most commonly used as a weapon in gender-based attacks stemming from rejection of sexual advance or proposals of marriage and as a form of extortion for dowry payments. Such attacks are their own criminal offense in India, with sentences ranging from 10 years to life in prison. But the impunity rate remains high, with victims bearing the brunt of the medical and social cost. Jasvinder Sehgal with Free Speech Radio News visits one project aimed at chipping away at the stigma that keeps survivors from coming forward to push for justice.
It is lunchtime at the Cafe Shiroz in the central Indian city of Lucknow. The aroma of crispy pizzas, spicy French fries, and hot espresso coffee fills the air as waitresses dressed in black pants and white t-shirts bustle between tables. The cafe, which celebrates its first birthday on International Women's Day this year, is run by survivors of acid attacks and their supporters. Vivek Kumar is the manager.
Shiroz, the name of the cafe, is a play on the word hero. The acid survivors are like heroes who fight against atrocities. The cafe is also a heroic effort to remove the stigma surrounding the victims and to spread awareness about acid attacks.
The cafe is one of three in the Shiroz hangout chain, which began in 2014 with a location in the inner city of Agra near the world-famous Taj Mahal. There are no fixed prices, but rather the pay-as-you-wish contributions go towards the rehabilitation of survivors of acid violence in India. 28-year-old waitress Vimla Devi tells her story.
I was raped on December 11, 2008. I filed charges against the rapists. Their relatives started harassing me in retaliation. They severely assaulted me and threw acid on my face and neck. They inserted an iron rod into my private parts. Three times acid was thrown on me to force me to withdraw my complaint.
8 years later, Devi says no police action has been taken against the culprits.
None of them have been convicted thus far. They have threatened me repeatedly to drop the charges or they'll kill my son and daughter. They have pressured the cafe owners to fire me. It's deeply disturbing.
The Lucknow cafe is located in the Indian state of Uttar Pradesh, which has the highest rate of acid attacks in the country. Acid attacks are a specific type of gender-based violence meant to permanently disfigure the victim. Sometimes the perpetrators are strangers or acquaintances, whereas other times it's a form of domestic violence. 37-year-old Azma Khan, who works in the cafe's kitchen, was attacked by her then husband and his family over what they considered an insufficient dowry payment.
My father made many gifts as part of my wedding dowry. He spent almost 1 million rupees for a 32-dish banquet. But my in-laws and husband were not happy. I was 7 months pregnant when my husband, along with his brother, mother, and sister, grabbed hold of me and threw acid on my belly. I delivered a baby boy who died after 4 days of his birth due to the heat produced by the acid.
In 2013, India's top court passed an order to strictly regulate acid sales and maintain a database of acid buyers. But in practice, acid is still sold freely in the markets. According to government figures, 225 acid attacks were reported in 2014 and 249 the following year. Acid attack survivor support groups say these figures are misleading and do not account for the many cases that go unreported. But modest efforts like the Shiroz Cafe at least try to remove the stigma that comes with disfigurement and turn victims into survivors. And this International Women's Day, the Shiroz Hangout Initiative is receiving a Presidential Award of Honor for this unique effort. Jaswinder Sehgal, FSRN, Lucknow, India.
You're You're listening to the KABU Evening News. It's a volunteer-produced newscast. We encourage your participation. You can actually call us with your breaking news stories right here at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ray Bodwell, Tom Flynn, Demi Hellenius, Joe Lino, Tony Letigre, Kanan Schlesinger, and Grace Ann Smith. The producer is Sam Bowman. Special thanks to our friends at Free Speech Radio News. You can find more stories at fsrn.org. Our excellent engineer is Matthew Olson. The KABU Evening News director is Zelos Marchand. And the Evening News Public Affairs Director is Kanan Schlesinger. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KABU News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Robert Barncourt.
And I'm Grace Ann Smith. Stay tuned tomorrow for our regular public affairs and news programming, starting with Democracy Now! at 7. Good night, Robert.
Good night, Grace Ann. Good night, Matthew.
Good night. The time is 5:59. This is KBOO Portland, and up next is Rose City Native Radio.
Hey, this is Khalid Mosley. Tune in on KABU Community Radio for Rose City Rip Hop. This Friday, March 10th, I will be speaking to local group DPD, also known as Deadphone Dummies, and other special guests. As we discuss the importance of hip-hop and get a little personal understanding of them as a collective and what all that they stand for. Listen in on 90.7.fm or at kboo.fm. Search for Rose City Rip Hop for more information and upcoming showtimes. Thank you. Have a good day.
Diggy take it to the beat, diggy take it to the beat, diggy take it to the beat. That's what we planned, but she stood me up. Roxanne, Roxanne. Roxanne, Roxanne.